This recording, Arkansas 25, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Get Secure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Get Secure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. The area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so she made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, the itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she had administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Miss Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Yeah, so my mom and dad left Vietnam via boat in 1976 as part of the post-war migration out of the communist Vietnam, and they ended up in Malaysia at a refugee camp for 2 years, where my sister was born. And after 2 years at the refugee camp, they were sponsored to come to the United States, where they flew into San Francisco, and they spent approximately 6 months there before being transferred to Fort Smith, where Fort Chaffee is located. And from there, they met up with my mom's brother, who had already come over here. Their sponsor actually lived in Florida. And so from Fort Chaffee, my parents and my sister moved to West Palm Beach, Florida for 3 years. And then they moved back to Fort Smith because that's where my uncle still was. And that's when they had me. So I was born in Fort Smith and lived there my whole life. I have an older sister that was born in Malaysia. I have a younger brother, and he is 10 years younger than me. So he's considerably younger. But growing up in Fort Smith, as you know, first generation immigrant was, you know, when you're young, you don't really realize anything different. You know, it's just how you grow up. But, you know, the older you get, the more you learn and recognize things. It was a challenge because my parents, Fort Smith is divided into the north side of town and the south side of town. So the north side of town is predominantly minority, lower income. And then the south side's predominantly Caucasian and, you know, and higher income. And so my dad, you know, the immigrant population was almost all exclusively on the north side of town. But my dad moved us to the south side of town because that's where the better schools were. And there wasn't as much of a, I don't know how you would say it. I guess in the 90s, there was kind of like gang activity, especially amongst, you know, the Asian population that had just come over here. And so he tried to remove us from that and into the better schools. And so my sister and I weren't surrounded by, you know, people that looked like us and could relate to, aside from just seeing our cousins and stuff on the weekends. So that in itself presented, quite a few challenges, as well as opportunities. You know, growing up through it, it was challenging, but looking back on it, you know, it was definitely the best thing, for me, to have been in those situations. And now even looking back on it, I wish that more families had made that decision as well. Because I feel like, you know, in a sense that I was, whether I wanted to be or not, I was more or less an ambassador for my culture to these people that would have not otherwise known anything about us on a personal level. And so looking back on it, it was a very good situation for me to represent, you know, our culture and make these personal connections with people that otherwise would not have any type of interaction or connection to anything other than their kind of homogenous lifestyle. So it was really cool. It was challenging, but in the end, I wouldn't have changed it for anything, you know. So that's a little bit about kind of how my family got here and you know, kind of how it was growing up in Fort Smith, kind of a little bit of an outsider that got put into a situation where he had to, you know, find his place and call it home.